You can't be broke even. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I'm saying correctly, right? Absolutely. Okay, there is a generation that is rising on the earth. I prophesied this for some time, and I'm seeing them. I'm glad they are coming up. They are coming up. Are you hearing me? God is doing something. Oh, my goodness. Out of the ashes of the defeated shame church, a generation is rising. A generation you cannot ignore. A generation authorized by God to function in the earth, to represent him and to carry his glory. And you are part of this generation. Are you with me? I had an experience in England, 2001, November. I was running a couple of revival meetings in England at that time. And me and my friend decided to go on some fast. Hallelujah. We said we'll do some 21 days of fasting. But every time we wanted to start, something happened to his health. We'll postpone. After one or two postponements, I said to him, I will start. And when you feel strong enough, you join. I will count from that time, I will count 21 days. But I'm starting now. When I said that, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. I see myself using my hand to bend iron. He said, walking, doing the impossible and walking in the miraculous will conquer when you begin to obey these areas regularly. Then a vision appeared before me. There was a platform. On that platform was a late Archbishop Benson Idahosa, a man that God used greatly in Nigeria to bring Christianity to respectability and all over Africa. He was nearly on all four, his hand on the ground, and that then there was an empty chair by him. Suddenly, I saw the overseer of Redeemed Christian Church came and sat on that chair. And he used his two legs to push the Archbishop off the stage. It looked so odd to me. I was like, oh, this gentleman, isn't that rude? When I was saying that, the Lord began to say, no, you don't understand. I said, what is it that I need to understand? He said, there's a shift in my purpose. He said, the Archbishop represented the charismatic move. In the charismatic move, I anointed men with gifts. And gifted men attracted followings, respectabilities, built large organizations. You say, yet, in that charismatic move, people could still be anointed and be corrupted. He said, I am doing something new on the earth, and I'm using my servant, Adeboye, to signal that move. And it's called the glory move. He said, in the glory move, I do not need the gift of a man. In the glory move, I kill the man. He said, the end of man is the beginning of my glory. And I will use fasting as a major tool in this. That's what you are seeing. He is talking fasting. If you remember, some of you, Eddie, I don't know if you, how many of you were, I mean, some old faces are here, perhaps. If you remember, he was the first one to start talking about 100 days fasting. Hello, can you remember that? He popularized fasting. God was moving him to stir up a generation that will carry the glory. It saddens me when I see many, many, many within Redeemed Church are not more than politicians. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I say it saddens me. But even among you, a generation is rising. Amen. God cannot use him and then not use you. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Can I stay on track? It's hard for me now because I'm going to go into two more revelations. There was another revelation in which I saw the late TBN founder, Paul Crouch. I saw him arrive in heaven. And as he arrived in heaven, God was so pleased by his work on the earth. He arranged a special reception for him. And when that reception came, the award was given to him. Everybody was clapping. You have never seen that kind of clap. It's like all the stars in the galaxies clapping together at the same time. Are you hearing me? And as everything was clapping, the attention shifted to the earth, looking for somebody to pioneer the next move of God. Are you with me? And one dynamic man of God with a reputation for faith and boldness in Nigeria, he stepped forward to do it. And then everybody was waiting for him. He looked confused. He couldn't locate the trigger. Then Pastor E.A. Adeboye came up, unassuming, very simple, but led by the Spirit. And he pulled the trigger. And revival was to begin. Then I look in the Spirit at the roots of Redeem, and I saw a lot of decay. Many in Redeem will not be able to move in it. Even though God is using the overseer to put the trigger. See, I'm in trouble right now because it's on Facebook, right? But it's time to start saying it. Hallelujah. One final vision that I had about him, the man of God. I saw myself and thousands of ministers were in a campground queuing up for job interview. From where I was in the line, it was still miles and miles away before I get to my turn. So it's like, okay, let's just be playing. It's too far. Are you with me? While we were playing and I'm unmindful, the line broke in two. And suddenly I'm in front. What? And I'm not ready for the interview. They called me to the room. I was staggering, scared and afraid. And when I came into the room, he was head of the panel of interviewers. And he said, my son, come, let me show you something. I'll follow. I was still shaking. And as we moved from the room back into the open camp, one of the things I noticed about the open camp was anointed with the Spirit of life. Oh, my God. Many of you don't even know what that means. I've been caught up in visions of heaven before. And I see the atmosphere of heaven. It's anointed with supernatural life, divine life. The atmosphere of heaven is anointed with life that if you step on the grass, when you move your leg, the grass will come up by itself. If you bend over, your cloth is rumpled, your cloth will adjust itself because it is anointed with life, divine life. Oh, my God. Have you ever read Romans when he say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death? There are two laws that are reaching this earth. The law of sin and death means decay, diminishing returns, corruption, and ultimate the grave. The law of the Spirit of life is a quickening spirit of resurrection available to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the life of God, the life of resurrection that is not subject to death. I'm not talking about the life that Jesus lived before he was crucified in that body. I'm talking about the life that went into the grave and came out and not subject to death, not subject to gravity, not subject to space or time. That's the one that just walking when you are in the house. Are you hearing me? Sickness, corruption, poverty, all the things that come from the fall of man cannot function in the presence of that life. Are you hearing me? As I follow him, I saw him approach a man. He wanted to do deliverance on the man. And I look at the men that were needing deliverance under manifestations. Their faces were contorted. They have become like the demon. Are you with me? He approached one of the men and he said to me, "Watch." He commanded the demon to come out of the man. And then he turned to me and said, "See, the demon will not come out immediately. The demon will check him, that is him, out first." When he said that, my eyes were open. And I saw two spirits in the man. One was a python spirit. And another one was dragon. And the two eyes of the dragon, they were like floodlight. He pushed one of the eyes on the man of God and was scanning him, looking for one dark spot he could not find. He put a second light on him and scanned him, looking for a dark spot he could not find. And the spirit was frustrated. And so the python spirit launched at the man of God. Fire came from heaven, zap, and reduced it to ashes. And he started moving away, say, "Dust it off, dust it off." So moving away, I started crying. I said, "Sir, I've seen you a couple of times in my dream. You have just given me something that will last my lifetime on the earth. That if I'm really serious about ministry of deliverance, holiness is not negotiable." And I was crying, and I wake up, physical tears were in my eyes. So it was real. Are you hearing me? So God gave us a man to show us some things. Oh, I'm in trouble. Another vision is popping up. This is another vision I've had also at a point in time that he was featured in. In that vision, I saw a young girl, very young, inexperienced girl. He would just talk to people about Jesus. They would start weeping, crying in repentance. And I said to the girl, "Even though ministry-wise, you are smaller than what I could call my granddaughter, I want to learn from you." Say, "This is the way I gave my life. I did not need follow-up. I wept through the cross. I need this again in my life." And that vision shifted. I saw it was like Pastor Iyadewe were holding a crusade somewhere. And I saw so many angels. Hey. The sheer number of the angels were so many. And they were all moving down with excitement. Are you hearing me? One of them was talking to me, and like, it's like we are excited. We are going there. These are not ordinary. They are angels that break stuff. Are you hearing me? Have you seen bouncers in clubs? You could call these categories of angelic bouncers. They break stuff. They don't take mess. Are you hearing me? I noticed that I could identify two of them by name. The one that was in the front and the one that was at the rear. The one that was in the front, I could identify the name. It was the angel of grace. And the one at the back, standing like 30 feet in the air with a drawn sword, Michael. And I was asking the Lord, "Why did you let me identify those two by name?" He said, "Because of what he represents. The angel of grace is kicking it open because it's a grace moment for long-held promises to come to pass. promises I have made. Oh, my sabadi katamande. I feel I'm in trouble right now. Pray for me. Mazata pata lade. Hado do do. Mazonte te te. Yande zika tabade. E desese le menende. Hazande de de. Likopande de de. I come here to speak to a generation. A generation that will declare his generation. A generation that will love him radically. A generation that is tired of church as usual. A generation that is tired of compromise. A generation who are saying, we want nothing but Jesus. Give us Jesus. Give us Jesus. We don't care about ourselves. All we care about is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, but why Michael at the rear? He said, because even though it's a grace moment, it's a time of fulfillment of promises. It's also a time of the greatest conflicts. Hey. Ha, 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 ha. Another revelation is popular. Bear with me. This was just recently. I saw myself on the round table with Kenneth Copeland and another pastor whom I know in the spirit but don't know him physically. We were sitting just laughing, chatting. Hi, 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 I see somebody sleeping. Please wake up. You can't sleep in this atmosphere. If you're feeling sleepy, go and drink coffee and come back. Hallelujah. 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 We were on the table, just chatting like old friends. Inside my mind, I'm telling myself, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. These are old-time generals. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? We're just chatting like friends. Our knees were touching each other. And he had his Bible. Kenneth Copeland, and because of so much reading of the Bible, he had to cut it into 5 pieces so he can hold them portable, and he dropped one piece on the table. I and the other pastor said, yes, that's how you do it, Ken. That's how you do it. You eat that thing. You eat that thing. That's how you do it. You eat it up. And then the scene changed. I found myself facing a very big church full of young people. Different ethnic background. Oh my goodness. As usual, your heat is burning up. Hallelujah. Different ethnic background. And suddenly, they started taking off their clothes. They say, fellowship means no secret. If no secret, why are we wearing clothes? They were removing, stripped totally bare. Black, white, Haitian, Hispanic. I said, do I have to also take off my clothes? I was almost at the verge of saying, so should I start removing my own clothes? Then I started saying in my mind, where's my wife? Where's my wife? Then I look and I saw my wife over there with her clothes on. That seemed to revive me that you don't have to take off your clothes. This is the work of the enemy. Then suddenly I said, oh my God, the enemy has invaded. And hit us so hard. Before you know, all the youths were misbehaving. A spirit of rebellion came upon them. Are you with me? Instantly, the church that was full became half empty. And we're trying to get hold of them. Call them. Let's talk with them. I was telling somebody, I said, come, let's talk. We can settle this. We can settle this. One of them said, yeah, we can settle it. As long as you make me the head of the table. So I realized it was not the one talking to me, it was Lucifer. So in that same spirit, I would say, Lucifer, is that you? He said, yes, yes. And then my eyes opened. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, something is coming. Hallelujah. He said, go and read Jeremiah 15:16. Put it on the screen. Are you there? Are you there? Yes, sir. How many of you know that I didn't plan to go this way? Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. The Lord began to explain to me, say, my church must return back to my word. He said, deliverance good, prophetic good. But if you don't go back to my word, you will not be able to stand the wave of the enemy coming. He said to me, that pastor that I know in this room, but don't know physically, represent every pastor I have anointed. Tell them to open my word and break it down to my people. Piece by piece by piece. Since the Lord spoke to me like this, even me and my wife now, we don't sleep without the word. When we are traveling on the road, either we play gospel music for a little while, then we put in the word. It's reading while we're driving. Are you hearing me? We have need increasing amount of the word. Because the Lord also said to me, say, not only can the church not withstand the flood of the enemy coming if they don't go back to the world. He said, even my own flood too. Because I have my own flood that is huge. The church will not be able to handle it without going back to the world. Are you there? Can I talk to you like a prophet? There's a wave of prophetic glory that's going to come. It's already happening, but it's going to build up. This is not the kind of prophetic that you see a man of God stand there, people are worshiping him. The latest Hollywood star, and they are performing. If the prophetic is not glorifying Jesus, if what you are seeing is a man, not Jesus, that's corruption. Are you hearing me? It's so bad now that some of you too, maybe on your Facebook, you are also telling some uncircumcised young people, Papa, professor for me. What a foolish generation. You look at a small boy that's hardly 20 years old, hardly 30 years old, you are calling him Papa. If he's a genuine prophet, we say, please don't call me Papa. I'm a small boy. What am I Papa in for? Papa for what? Am I a voodoo priest? If this anointing is about Jesus, how can you so flippantly call them Papa and they agree with you? Are you still there? Papa, professor for me. Oh, Papa, go deeper. Professor, what is that? Because people are too lazy to open their Bible. This generation, you have your Bible in all devices. You have it on your iPhone or your whatever. You still don't read it. So you don't know the difference. So somebody just go and kiss a snake from the river. With the spirit of divination, the Apostle Paul cast out in Acts 16. And he's prophesying you. And you're saying, Papa, professor, speak to me, Papa. I have a problem. So you are breastfeeding your problem. Your life should not be problem driven. You should have a dream for your life. You should wake up every day pursuing your dream. When problems come, you kick them out. You don't massage problem and build a temple around problem. Many of us are worshiping demons who created the problems. Because the devil can't come to you and say, worship me. So he gave you a problem to worship. So you make your problem your focus. One time in Nigeria, I had a couple of young people who work with me, youth couples, born again. And I got this young man, very powerful prayer warrior. He had a saw on his feet. See the kind of prayer he was praying for that saw? 9 VG every day. That prayer can save a city. He focused it on the saw. And the soul was growing worse. Can I just advise somebody a little bit? I had a sister-in-law, her senior sister, who were bleeding for several months. They called different pastors. One would be holding the leg, one holding the hand. They are all praying. When I came to the area to do a revival, I said, Pat, I need you to come to pray for me tonight. I said, definitely, I will. It was time to pray. She came with me to the living room, and I just got disgusted. So why should I pray for you? I add myself to the long list of pastors, so I'll be wasting their time praying for you. Sister, are you afraid to die? She got angry, said, no. I said, you're not afraid to die? I said, no.
So why is it that everybody is praying for you? Do me a favor. Let's say you are going to die next tomorrow. What would you like to do now? Say, I would like to pray for my husband so his ministry can continue without me. I say, do that. Good night. I didn't pray. The following day, somebody is banging on my door. Say, come, you rascal. Come, come. I say, what now? He said, the blood stop. Without prayer, how can it stop? When she made up her mind that her dream and the vision of the husband was more important than the little demon of bleeding, when she made up her mind and shifted, God took it out. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? There are some of you who can't sleep. You are doing IVG every day to be able to sleep. You still don't sleep. Because you make a God out of a demon spirit. I remember doing deliverance in Ado-Ekiti those days. Massive deliverance. I was coming to the house where I normally stay. When I entered the premises, I saw in the spirit, demons have cut off the atmosphere, waiting for me. So I said, Lord, protect my host. I went to my room, kneel down to pray. While I am kneeling before God, trying to pray, they were astral projecting and pulling my spirit from my body to an astral plane. 3 times, I saw myself appear there. They had naked women to instigate lust and attack me. In my spirit body, I'm going to kick one of the lady in the face, they'll release me. It happened 3 times. And I got angry at God. I said, Father, I'm in your presence. I'm your servant. And they can do this. I said, wait. Where is it even written in your word that I am to pray for protection? It's not in the Bible, in the New Testament, as far as I can see. Show me if you see one. The Bible tells me in New Testament, you shall tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I say, wait. All of you, come back. All those snakes, put them on my bed. Make it soft. And I lie down. I say, Daddy, good night. I didn't know when I started snoring. What woke me up the following day was the sun hit my face. I was like, oh, it's daybreak. Where are the demons? Once I made up my mind to sleep, Daddy took care of them. That's how I learned principles. So war, we fight, but not at the initiative of the enemy. Imagine me do warfare all night long. That day, the next day, I'll be sleepy at work. I said, I did warfare all night. You lose your job. Your fight was a reaction to the enemy. When the enemy shows up, respond to your commander-in-chief. He'll tell you whether to bind or just to worship. Sometimes you don't need to bind that demon. You just need to invite the demon to join you in worship. Let's worship my maker together. As you start to worship, tell your God how beautiful he is. That demon is going to run. Because he can't stand your worship. Are you hearing me? How sometimes we give the enemy too much attention. Are you still there? I've even forgotten where I am now in the Revelation. Talk. Hallelujah. There is a generation rising on the earth who will move by glory. There's a difference between an anointing of power and the glory of God. In the anointing, God still touch a man who knows how to fast and pray, and he can get some things to happen. And when that is happening, people are attracted to the man. Are you hearing me? Great prophet. If you are a great prophet, then you are seducing the people from Jesus. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? If the Holy Ghost doesn't talk about himself and is the Father of Jesus, how can he anoint me to project myself? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? The church is in a mess and they don't know it. And God is raising a new generation. And that new generation have a different agenda, not themselves,
not their pocket. They have a love for God, unbreakable love, unshakable love, unmovable love, and they're going to run to and fro through the air with the power of God, and they're going to put the devil where he belongs on their feet. I'm telling you, you are the generation. You are that generation.
It begins with hunger. Are you hearing me? It begins with what? What you are hungry for, you look for it. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing have I desire, that will I look for, will I seek for. Once you have a desire, hey, hey, hey. When Jesus lift the veil, so you can catch a glimpse of him, that will mess you up. And you will want him. Every fiber of your being will begin to cry for him. You will wake up at night to check on him. And many of you right now, the Holy Ghost does wake you up. No matter how late it was, you sleep around 3, 4, your eye pop. And you don't know that it's divine romance hour. God is calling you, come my bride, my beautiful bride. Come close, let's talk. Open the word, open the page, eat the word, eat the word. That word is the food of warriors, the bread of warriors. Eat the word, play the worship, talk to me, speak in tongues. I want to reveal things to you. There are some that have caught up to the heavenly sound, and they are not waiting for a man of God, a woman of God, a sister of God, a vice God. They don't, no. I don't come here to make myself your hero. Jesus died for me and you. I'm not your hero. I'm not your hero. I'm not even your hope. Some of you young people here, you're actually my hope. I am hoping that you will go higher. I am hoping that you will reach where I didn't get to go. I'm hoping that you will get to do the things I didn't get to do. And I don't mind teaching you how to get there in a hurry. Hunger for God. Look at David crying. Psalm 63. Please, look at David. Psalm 63. 1. Oh God, he says, you are what? I can't hear you. Say it again. Eli, my soul, my flesh, as in the dry, where no water is. How can your soul and your flesh be testing for God? It's by practice. When you first get in there, your soul is thinking all over the place. But after a while of constantly seeking isolation with him, seeking quietness with him, reading his word, doing those little things, then God shows up. When God shows up, he lights every fiber of your being. Are you hearing me? One time he showed up in my room and said, Patrick, I'm going to permit my Holy Spirit to take the love between me and Jesus and transmit it to the church. He said, I want you to feel it now. Boom! Heaven was unleashed on me. Every fiber of my being was lit and shaking. I was in an ocean of love, redeeming love. Are you hearing me? Inside my soul, I was trying to describe it. What am I experiencing? This love is light. Oh, this love is what was meant to deliver us from hiding under any mask. This love makes you comfortable in your skin so that you are comfortable in who you are. It's that love that made the prostitute come there without a sense of inferiority. Oh my God. If a prostitute can give your God love, can't you? Are you hearing me? She didn't have time to clean the makeup. She didn't have time to adjust her dress so it can fit into the look of a church. She just went there and collapsed at the feet of Jesus, weeping, wiping her feet with her hair, kissing. Hallelujah. And he left all the religious professionals to figure it out. Are you hearing me? Can I just say something here? You're going to see God pick up some people. And he won't ask your opinion. Oh my God. You better make sure that he's speaking you too. Are you hearing me? That's why I talked to parents yesterday. Be careful. That child that you are looking at now misbehaving. Suddenly you don't know that that misbehavior, all that demonic activity is Bible college. When the power of God hit them, boom. In a moment of time, you're going to see them running around for Jesus. Are you still there? My soul thirsty. Why you keep bringing the picture? Stay on the scripture. Hello, sir. On the scripture. Verse 2. To see. You don't give me that nice version now. So have I looked for you to see your. Can you give me original King James? I'm sorry. Some of us were raised on the original. To see thy and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He said, I tasted something. You allowed me to see your glory before. Now I cannot live without it. I'm addicted. So if you read the two verses, you're going to understand verse 1 better. Oh God, thou art my God. It really means, oh God, you are my addition. You are my habit. You are my habit. I got a new habit. It's God. It's God. Give me another dose. Give me another dose. Give me another dose. Give me another dose. I've seen your power before in the sanctuary. I want to see another level. Another level. Take me higher. Move me from glory to glory. It's not alone. Look at Moses. Moses, Exodus 33. Exodus 33. We'll read from verse 14. I'm going to read fast. Are you there? Moses was contesting a new proposal from God. What was the proposal? God was saying, hey, you children of Israel, you are very stiff-necked. That means your neck doesn't move. I'm trying to say, go here. I'll say, go here. Go here. You are like Buddhas in a Chinese restaurant. He said, I don't want to relate with you like this. Because in my jealousy, I will wipe you out. He said, but let's have a gentleman's agreement. I told your fathers I'm taking you to a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. I will send an angel. The angel will take you there. We wipe out of all your enemies. We give you all the material success that your heart could long for. You have breakthrough. In the midst of your breakthrough, I will be absent. So people can have breakthrough and God is not there. Material success is not a sign of divine validation. Even the fact that God can use me and heal the sick doesn't mean that he approve of me. Are you hearing me? I lay hand on the sick recover. And somebody collapse, a professor. That doesn't mean that God approve of me. No. God doesn't use people because he approve of them only. He uses them because they are available and he wants to help others. If just God anointing me, me that I'm okay, then what about the donkey? The donkey prophesied. In fact, he prophesied to a prophet. Are you hearing me? So what is so special? You are anointed, you can prophesy, and everywhere you go, a trail of weeping women that you are bruised. Are you there? Are you there? Can't you see a new generation is rising? Who will comfort God? Is God will make you happy. What does it take to make you happy? What does it take to suit your broken heart? I will arise, lay your hand on me. I am sorry, I've been foolish. I thought other people should do this. I didn't realize why I was born was for this purpose. I was born for this purpose. I was born for this hour. to make God known to my generation. I thought I was not educated enough. Oh, I thought I wasn't handsome enough. Oh, I thought my color could not be. Can't you see? Not many mighty, not many powerful are called by God. He takes the weak things to confound the strong things. He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Will you say yes? Moses will say, God, if your presence don't follow me, I ain't going. God said, okay, my presence will. He said, my presence will what? And he said, my presence will go with thee, and I will give you what? That's another type of anointing, though. That's not the one that makes people fall down. It's one that makes every war collapse. It's one that goes to war when people rise against you. Rest, no agitation, no stress. You sleep well when trouble is boiling because somebody is answering the call. Almighty Father, are you hearing me? There are different levels. Read, quick. 15. All right. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not. I don't want the breakthrough without you. I don't know whether somebody understands this. Moses is putting God in trouble. Are you hearing me? Put that down. So now you be the God now, maybe Moses. You say you don't want to join us. So you see that man is too tough for you as God. You don't want to follow him. You don't want to give him all his money. Let him go and have his life. Then you and I say, God, if you don't follow all of us, me, I'm not going. So now Moses put God in trouble. He's going to make God do what he doesn't want to do. Why? Because he's saying, God, I cannot live without you. If he cannot live without God, God said, I cannot let you be by yourself. If I am that important to you, I will come along. For some of you, God will have to handle your family because of where you stand. Because of where you stand with God. Even your people that are misbehaving, God will have to still protect them. Put angels around them. Are you there? Are you there? He said, don't carry us if you are not going to go with me, Papa. Quick. He said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it known that thou goest with us? So shall we be what? Say that word again. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the earth. He said, God, let your presence separate me. Do you understand? There can be 100 ministers lined up. A few of them, God will separate them for himself. They are for him. He will permit others to do all kinds of things. He won't bother them because he knows the configuration of their heart. But if you merely be angry, hello, he comes with a big stick. Because he says, you are mine. You belong to me. I separate you with my presence. Hey, are you there? Say, God, only my wife, separate me. With your presence. Mark my life. With your presence. Go for that. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing for you. I found what? Grace in my sight. And I know. Moses had a reputation before him. What's your reputation? Even before demons. You say, in the name of Jesus. You must say, we will go because of the name of Jesus. So, but you know what? We were seeing you the other time. Oh. When you were kissing the strange woman, though, we saw you. Well, we're shy, we will respect the name of Jesus. Let's not make a public issue out of this. We have our day when we publish you on television. In the meantime, we can just go, let's go. Let's respect the man of God. Hello. 18. And he said, I beseech you, show me what? What does he mean? What does he want? He has seen all the demonstration of the power. He brought Egypt on her knees. Now he's saying, God, show me your glory. What does he want? I courted my wife for 3 years. Then I got married to her. I did not see her glory until our wedding night. After we pronounced man and wife, we went somewhere. We saw each other's glory. Glory means commit everything that you are and have to me. So Moses was saying, God, you know what? I want you to commit yourself to me. Are you hearing me? God can use people and not commit to them. He can bless people and not commit to them. God does not play with his reputation. He doesn't commit easily, carelessly. Are you hearing me? But there's a man here that says, God, commit your reputation to me. That's why when he meets you, God says, you are coming home. Because if God commit to you, and you misbehave? Are you hearing me? Are you still there? Are you still there? Are you still there? Let's hear God's response. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. His glory is what? All his. I will put all my goodness, generosity in display over your life. I will be gracious to whom I will be what? And I will show mercy. Say, please, mercy. Let your mercy find me. Let your mercy make me faithful. Let your mercy find me. Are you there? Go ahead. 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me. Why? Have you asked yourself before, why is it that when they see God, they can't live? God is saying, if I let you see what I look like, you won't be able to live on the earth again. Hello? If after you spend 20 years in America, they deport you to your village, in Umukurushi. Can you survive it? Because you don't even know how that place looked like again. Some of the things you can't even remember again. Some of you now have been messed up by America. You don't know America have messed you up. You see, they go to Nigeria for 2 weeks. And you fly back. Imagine if you couldn't fly back. And now they give you tap water. Hey, no, I can't drink tap water. There, back there, you were drinking pure water. one of my sons used to call it poor water. Not just pure, it's poor water. God is saying, if I let you see what I really, really look like, you can't cope on the earth again. So I'll give you a level. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Say that. God was saying to me, there is a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock. There is a place by God meant for you. Take your place by God. That your place by God is your access to all the other places of life. Your personal glory, your financial glory, your family glory, every other level of glory is consequent upon you taking your place beside God. It's a place meant for you. Are you hearing me? And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, I will put it on the cliff of the rock and I will cover you with my hand. I believe the rock is Jesus. So imagine the Father place you on Jesus and use his hand to cover you. The hand is the Holy Ghost. So you are no longer visible. Do you see the journey? When people come, they will not contact you. They will contact the one that's covering you. When problem comes, it will confront the one that's what? Covering you. No corruption can stand in that. No sickness can stand. No demon can stand in that atmosphere. Can you bear with me a little more? Matthew 17, please. Matthew 17. That will be the final one, I tell you. And you know what? After that, I called the two anointed ladies to pray for you. And then maybe I prophesy to one or two. If it's okay by you. Okay. After 6 days, Jesus take care of what? James and John and his brother and bring them up on the mountain apart. Quick. And was there transfigured before them, metamorphosed before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as snow. Wait. His face was shining like what? And his raiment, which raiment? Which clothing? Physical? No, there was another clothing. Supernatural clothing that every one of you have, but you have to pay the price for it to rest and settle on you. You have to pay the price of spending time in his presence, in fasting, in seeking it, and in dying to yourself. Then that clothing settle. For most of you, that clothing comes and goes, comes and goes. It's a heavenly suit. Are you hearing me? This is not a physical clothing. The presence in you can also affect your physical clothing. But it's not a physical clothing. It's a spiritual. They were seeing the inner configuration. The demons have been seeing this one since. They have not seen it. They just noticed that when demons see him, they start to cry. We know you. Ah, have you come to torment us? They saw that thing. Now the disciples are seeing the secret. Are you hearing me? And his face was what? I will not go deep. I don't have the time. Keep going. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. They were handing over. Are you hearing me? When you come to Christ, Moses sees, Elijah sees. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Do you know how many people now are calling their pastor our Moses? Foolish people. 2,000 years after Jesus died, you need another Moses. I know what they mean by that. It means they are too lazy to seek God. So they have their Moses go and do a 40 days fast on the mountain and become their holy star. It could well be fornicating. And they worship him. Anything tell them to do, they do it. Except obey the word of God. I didn't come here to fight, though. Are you hearing me? Moses over. That means Moses represents the law. Whatever ministry you are called for, whether you are a prophet, you disappear and let Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be visible. Are you there? Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for who? Foolishness. And God quickly answered, otherwise people will build a doctrine on that. Go to the next one. While he yet spake, behold what? Glory. Can we just allow the glory a little bit today? The glory came. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is, hear him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son. I am completing him. You see my son, you have seen me. Hear him. Don't look for Moses. Don't look for Elijah." Do you know what I noticed? Every man of God is capable of dying before his time. All you need, don't correct your church people when they start to make an idol of you. They will bury you. They'll buy you a coffee. People have all those kind of strange ways. It's cultural with us. We honor people. We don't worship people. We honor people. We worship God. Are you hearing me? How come, even in our normal day-to-day relationship, why did I get to know you? God. But how can I relate with you? Enjoy the privilege of knowing you and dishonor God at the same time. God used somebody to give you $10,000 one time. That person has become your God. You don't even remember that God was the one that answered prayer and used him. Now you are just related with that person. You don't even care about God. Are you hearing me? I practically see servants of God do that. Somebody give them a large sum of money. Say, "Oh, it's my prophet. It's my destiny helper." And they are relating and collecting money. That person is not yet saved, though. Has not yet had the authentic gospel for them. They are praying all kinds of prophetic prayer, doing all kinds of anointing, leading the person to hell, where they also have an apartment. Do you see you need to stand up? Hello? Hello? How many of you want my phone number now? You still? You'll never get it. It's not a fight, you'll never get it. Hallelujah. Read the last one. "And when disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid." Let's finish it. "And Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and be not afraid.'" On a parting note, please, I'm begging you, shall I kneel down? Open your Bible and start reading. Read about Jesus. I'll call the women of God to come and lead us to pray. Let's bless them. Come and start the prayers. I need a little break.
Masadaraba. Can we all stand up? Yidaraba baba 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 baba. If you have been blessed with this word this morning, and you know God has ministered to you, I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray right now. Begin to say, "Father, I want to know you. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering." Begin to pray, "Father, I want a new level in my life. I want to move in a new dimension of your power, of your glory, of your presence. Lord, you are all I want. You are all I need. Masaya barabaka sekete rababa baba baba rababa baba 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 rabasa kaya basanta. Lord, I need your presence. I need your presence in my life. Help me to hunger for your presence. Help me to thirst for your presence. Lord, you are all I want. Father, commit yourself to me. Give yourself to me, O God. Lord, I surrender myself unto you. Give me a hunger for your word. Give me a hunger for your presence. Help me to love you more. Yeah, baby. Ask God to visit you with his hunger. Ask God to visit you with his presence. Mazaka ya ba 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 ba. I do not want any breakthrough that God will not go with. I want your presence, oh God. Ye kasanda ba 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 ba.
More of you,
more of you,
more of you, Lord.
More of you, Lord.
More of you, Lord.
I do not want a breakthrough without you, oh God. Without your involvement, oh God. Begin to stay up yourself right now. In the Holy Ghost, Masaya Kasikata, Lord, we need you. We need you. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of your glory. More of your power. More of your anointing. More of your presence. More of you, Lord Jesus.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Because we don't have a lot of time, our time has actually been exhausted, but we want to bless you. We will just use one stone to kill many birds. As you come here, we awaken a new hunger, a new glory reality in your life. At the same time, any problem you have, will command you to fall off. Sicknesses will die and disappear. While the choir when you were here earlier on, you were very in the prophetic accurate, because before you started talking about baby, I was seeing a baby. So somebody has a baby, miracle baby in the house. And God is breaking the power of frustration. Whatever sickness or anything, when you step here, the glory of God will shock it out of you. So as we worship, that they can come and you anoint them. You anoint them. We have the anointing. Give them the microphone. Bazu seketela ande. Yes, sekete. I like this now. Give them the mic, honey.
To you I belong.
Don't come yet. Don't
I
come
give
yet.
Myself
worship first. Amen.
Give myself to you.
Come on now, let's worship with us.